Welcome to Expect Increase, where mindset and sales meet. This is episode 55, The Road to Publishing, Rashana's Story. Hi, I'm Sharik Richardson, founder of Digital Innovation Media Group, where I'm the lead designer and head marketing strategist. And what we do is we help business owners convert traffic to more clients, followers, and engagement. You can get more information at digitalinnovationmg.com. And I'm joined today by Rashana, as always. How are you?
Hi, I'm doing great, Sharik. Hello, everyone. I am Rashana Price, your leadership and success coach and trademark owner of the phrase giver of awesomeness. I truly believe everyone has something awesome to give to the world, and I help you do that through coaching, speaking, and training. You can learn more about me at RashanaPrice.com.
Awesome. Well, we have a very special episode today. You're going to talk to us about your road to publishing and your first book. And so I'm going to be taking notes. I know when I do my talk, you're like, I'm taking notes. So I'm going to be in the note-taking position for this episode. And I'm going to just turn it over to you to tell us all about how you're getting published.
Yeah. So I wanted to share because, first of all, we talked about even at the beginning of this year, one of our goals was to publish books. Mm-hmm. You have a book in your heart. I have a book. And it's actually turning out to be several books, but this first book is, I'm hoping, the hardest because it's been a journey just to be able to write and be vulnerable in the process. So I thought it would be helpful to share my journey and to give some tips along the way as you are thinking about publishing, especially if you're listening out there and you've started writing and maybe you put the book down because you had some self-doubt or some negative self-talk around what the book could do or would do. So my first really tip is to just start writing. Mm-hmm. So many times the discussions around, oh, I want to write a book, but what will it be and what will it become?
Right.
Keep you from starting or feeling like, well, what if it's not good enough? At least I definitely had that thought a few times. Has mm-hmm. it ever come across your mind?
Oh my gosh. Yes. Because you tell yourself, it's all that, those limiting beliefs of, well, there's so many books have been written by this already, or, you know, this one is a PhD and they know more about it than I do, but you're right. Just do it.
Yeah. Just do it. Just get it out there. Don't worry about if it's going to be a New York Times bestseller or not. What if the book doesn't sell and you don't make money or all of that?
Right.
Just start writing because writing it is the first step. Mm-hmm. And you don't want to stop the flow of what it is you're thinking about. And the book that you start writing may not even be the book that it ends up that you end up publishing.
Wow.
Because through the writing process, you evolve and you change. So start writing.
Cool.
Yeah. The next thing I want to share with you is like a good tip. Is to avoid self-censorship. Mm. And what I mean by that is, you know the story that you want to tell, whether it's a personal story, whether you're writing because you're trying to help equip someone with information, you're writing because you want to be funny, like it doesn't really matter what the content is. We all have inside of us this feeling of self-censorship.
Right.
Either you don't want to tell the whole story, or in your writing, there's pieces and parts of it that come automatically or feel like it's a given, and so you don't put that in the book. Those are the things that need to go into the book.
Yes.
Because the things that may be given for you, your reader may not be able to make those connections or not have the experiences that you have to tie it all together.
That's so true, because we have to kind of think outside of ourselves, like you said, not say, oh, I can't talk about that or whatever, but you really have to think about the person that's going to be reading the story.
Yeah. And there's just this sense of like, when you're writing a story, and for me, I am writing about times that I've been bullied in my life and how through those experiences, I've found that there are these specific behaviors that people demonstrate. Mm-hmm. And how to shift from those bully moments into greater good, and how do you give the gifts that you have?
Yes.
So when telling those stories, some that are very personal, they're all pretty personal, there's parts of it that are painful. And so when I started rewriting the book, because I wrote maybe a little bit of the book a year ago, put it down. So if you're out there listening and you did that, it's okay, pick it back up.
Yes.
I put it down because I was like, oh, I don't really know that that's what I want to write about. I don't know if it's good enough. I don't know if it's going to resonate with anyone, or maybe it's just my story, my experience. No one else has had that. When I picked the book up again, being able to write the whole story really helped weave the book together.
That's true, because, you know, you really want to make sure that, you know, the story is one that's really compelling, and, you know, and that it flows. And so, like you said, just pick it back up and just keep going. Don't let the fact, oh, I waited a year, just keep going.
Yeah. And the thing is that if you write the whole story, even if when you're writing it, it's messy, right? Like, it doesn't flow well. There's grammar, punctuation, all that kind of stuff. The best part is there are people out there that help you clean it up.
Yes, and that's the beautiful part.
Yeah, which is my third tip, is to hire or invest in either a good editor or an editor that can also help you ghostwrite if you feel like you need that. I do not have a ghostwriter on this first book. The first book is a little over 100 pages, mm-hmm. and there's questions in it, so it's not a very beefy book. And that's okay.
Yeah. I mean, because, books don't have to be 300 pages.
No.
It's the content.
That's right. That's right. The content and the message is what's most important. So if you're out there listening to this recording, you're thinking, gosh, my story is a good story, but it's a short story. Short story books are the best. You know, sometimes people don't have a lot of time to listen to a whole lot or read a whole lot. They want to get in. They want to get the content. They want to get out. Or they want, all they need is 2 pages of what you said.
Mm-hmm.
So that's great. But what you want to do is make sure you write the whole story, that you get someone to edit it for you and to really read it. The other thing is along the way, you don't have to have the book done to start asking people to read it so that you can get some endorsements. This is a tip I kind of learned, because my book was it was pretty much done. It was like being fully edited when I started asking people to read it to get quotes that I was going to use for inside the book and the back of the book.
Right.
On the cover, which has delayed the process because they have to have time to read it.
Right.
They have time to remind them to write their what they're going to say. And so what I would say is, once you get most of the content down and the story is there, go ahead and have people read it, and you can tell them it hasn't been edited completely. So grammar, punctuation, all of that stuff it hasn't been done, but will you read it for content, story, and what touches your heart that you'd be willing to endorse?
Wow, that is awesome. You know, yeah. And I just wanted to say about even the part about outsourcing.
Yeah.
When people think about writing a book, and I'm just speaking from personal experience, it just seems like such an enormous project. And I'm sure it is a lot of work, but we allow that to stop us. You know what I mean? And there are people who do that. If you're worried about, well, I'm not a good writer, I'm not this, that's the editor's job, is to say, well, maybe this sentence can be better put this way. Or what did you mean by that?
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? That's their job. And they make it so much better. Once you do that brain dump and then you put that content out there and organize it, they also, you have another set of eyes looking at it, expert eyes. So I would highly suggest that if you're looking at it as an overwhelming project, look for people who can actually help make that a much easier and simpler process for you. So I'm glad that you touched on that.
Yeah, and the best editors that I've worked with, and I've worked with three, in this process of this book, not because any of them were bad, but I wanted to have different vantage points. All three of them asked me the same question: what is your intention for this book?
Right.
Because, and after the first time, the first editor asked me, I was like, what does that even mean? Like, what do you mean? it's a question that had never even crossed my mind. And she was like, well, do you want this book to be a message that you put out there and that it is, it's a message that's out there. It's not supposed to do something for you. That's a, some people write books, they just want to publish. Other people write books to get their name out there to be an expert in a specific area. Some people write books because they want it to lead to something. So it's a how-to that then generates something for them in their business.
Right. And like you said, those questions could spark, like you said, more books. It can change the whole outline of your book because your mind is now being opened.
Yes. And good editors will edit your book based on what they know you want the intention to be.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
So, yeah. So that is, and I didn't even write that down as one of the five things I was going to tell you, but I like that one. Add it. It's number six. Know the intention of why you're writing the book.
Yeah.
Beyond like, I want to make money or I want it to sell or something like that. Like, what's your intention?
Right. Beyond the monetary things, right? Because it, there has to be a soul, you know, impact feeling as well, or motivation there, but not just, I want to get rich, I want to get on, you know, TV or whatever. Yeah. There has to be something deeper, a deeper right. why you want to do this.
Yes, exactly. Yep, exactly. So tip number, the next tip, because now my numbers are off, is don't wait to design your cover. Mm-hmm. So don't wait till your book is totally done writing, till you're done totally writing to design your cover. I would say get your first draft of your book fully done, send it to an editor, and start working on what you want your cover to be.
Now that's a good one.
Yes. Here's why. Because okay. cover design is a part of what the book will be, but mm-hmm. you can also start marketing with the cover. And also, if you start with the cover design at the same time that the book is being edited, at the same time you have a few people reading it that are going to endorse it, mm-hmm. you can streamline your process. Because the cover is not complete until the front, back, and spine mm-hmm. are finished.
Yes.
So it all has to be designed together. And so if you wait to design your cover until after it's been all read, it's been all edited, then you ask people to read it, mm-hmm. then you ask them to give you feedback, then you design the cover, you will be prolonging how long it takes you to publish. And if you're a person that's like, I need it to go that way, that very linear way, then do it that way. But if you're a person that's like, I see how I can streamline this, mm-hmm. then I would suggest, while it's being edited, have some people reading it to be able to endorse it. That way, once they've given you their endorsements and what they want to say, it goes into the design.
Right.
And Sharique, you know, you design websites all the time. And like, if you know you're designing a website and you have to leave room for three lines of content, that's different than 12 lines of content.
Oh, exactly. Because spacing, everything counts. You know, how much content is going to go in a certain amount of space and if it's going to change the design, all of that goes into play.
Exactly.
So I absolutely agree with that.
Totally. Yeah, exactly. And so then my last tip is perfection is like a pothole. Avoid it at all costs.
Wow.
So this writing thing is a journey. Getting the road to publishing is a journey. Don't let perfection be the pothole that stops you. So the book, even with multiple people reading it and looking at it, it may have some errors in it. Mm-hmm. I have read some of John Maxwell himself, his books. They have on certain pages extra the's, like the, right? Like it's there twice. And he has editors and he's like the leadership guru and has written over 80 books, right? Mm-hmm. Like this understanding that your book may have an error in it, grammatical error, punctuation, spacing, it's probably going to happen. And the more words you write, the more it's going to happen. But don't let the perfection of trying to get it perfect stop you from getting to publishing.
Yes, that is such a major thing because, I mean, I'm one of those people who it has to be just right. And I'm learning to tell myself, look, Sharique, because like you said, even the best, and I've read books too where I found grammatical errors and things like that because we're human.
Right.
you know, we're all human. Even if it's several human beings, several sets of eyes that is going through, it's still, it can still happen.
Yep.
And if somebody has Emma's time in their hands to point that out to you, then God bless them. But the majority of people are going to appreciate what the message that you're giving in your book and are not going to have time for something like that. So do not let that stop you. Keep going.
Yeah. And there are even studies that show that when something is too perfect, mm-hmm. then that is actually a reason that people don't, it doesn't resonate with them. We see it all the time in the beauty industry, people that go get plastic surgery to make sure that their face is fully symmetrical.
Mm-hmm.
To most of us, they look crazy.
Right.
Because their face is now too perfect, when most of us have some kind of imperfection somewhere, crooked noses, one of my ears is higher than the other, so my glasses always sit a little offside, I have a tooth that's lower than the other, right? Like, that's just a part of who we are as humans, we're flawed.
Right.
And the same is true in your work. Like, you want it to be your best effort mm-hmm. and your best intention, and leave the perfection at the door.
Exactly. And besides, it makes you approachable. Mm-hmm. If you're on this high mountain, you're not going to be, people are not going to approach you as much as they see that, okay, this person is human.
Yep.
They're like me. I can see myself in this person, in their story. And you don't want to go out and write a book or do whatever, and then people don't feel as if they can walk up to you and tell you how you impacted them.
Yeah. So I'm excited about this publishing journey. The book is called Be a Giver of Awesomeness. And the subtitle is Discover, Guard, and Give. When bullies come, you know you have a gift. So you can find it. It'll be out on Amazon, and you can find it on my website at rashaunaprice.com.
That is so awesome. I mean, that is just amazing information. As you know, I'm on the journey, and some of you may be out there writing your book. And this is great information. And we're just going to be just watching you, Rashaunna, and taking notes and getting to work.
Yes, get to work. Love it.
And so thank you all for listening to us today. I definitely hope that you, and I'm sure you have enjoyed this episode. And just keep in mind, it is pre-recorded. I'm Sharique, and you can find me at Digital Marketing Works on Instagram. Facebook, my page is Digital Innovation Media Group. And on LinkedIn, I'm under Sharique L. Richardson, MBA. Where can we find you, Rashaunna?
Yeah, you can find me on Facebook and Instagram as Giver of Awesomeness, and on LinkedIn and Twitter as Rashaunna Price.
Great. Thank you so much for listening, and we will definitely chat with you next time. You know, man.